broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for June 19th in the year of our Lord 2020. Hour two of two in the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, God, family, and country. That's what it's about on your radio. Kirk Crosby's with me. Welcome, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome, sir. All right, so on the top of the hour, I went and tweeted, Kurt, and here's what I tweeted. I put number sign, honesty is the issue, because that's like what you're supposed to do to get, you know, people to understand the hashtag going on, right? Honesty is the issue. What if that hashtag went around, huh? What if all kinds of news had number sign or hashtag honesty is the issue? What do you think, Kurt? Be all right, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Boy, howdy. And then I basically put at sign at real Donald Trump and at sign at Glenn Beck. And that way I tagged those two dudes in my tweet as well. And the headline says, Sam Bushman breaks down and agrees with Glenn Beck's fantastic rant defending President Trump. I can't take it anymore. Honesty is the issue. Right? There you have it. What do you think of that, Kurt?
Very good, Sam.
All right. You got to tweak that stuff out, man. You wondered if Donald Trump or one of his staff members will see that. You also wonder if Glenn Beck's staff will see that, huh?
Good point. Yeah, all right. I agree.
I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. Trump admin wants input on, quote, private border wall construction after our successful builds, Kurt.
Now, this is by the We Build the Wall crew, Sam, and
yeah, is that by the Mexican people?
See. Well, no, there's a private group led by this.
I thought the Mexicans were building the wall.
Well, I think they're paying for it, Sam.
I see.
And this private group is basically a, it was started by a former service guy who just basically saw that the president was going to have a hard time getting this border wall done. So
when you say service guy, hey, let's be clear, a military service guy, a veteran, right?
That's right. Good point. So he basically just said, hey, we'll work on this. They did a GoFundMe and they basically put together millions of dollars from private citizens to do the border wall, at least in certain places. The Arizona Central or azcentral.com has this piece as Trump administration wants input on private border wall construction. They're looking, they say, into the possibility of allowing private companies to buy land along the U.S.-Mexico border and build their own private border wall. That's according to a request the federal government made to private contractors. The U.S. Customs and Border Protection, the agency that's responsible, and this story is what it says, for securing the nation's borders, issued this request for input from contractors about how to improve anti-climb and anti-breach features of the 30-foot bollard fencing that construction crews have been installing along the southwestern U.S. border. So it was just interesting to me that there was a kind of a private connection, you know, kind of a, at least whenever government does something, if they include the private sector, I think they get a lot more money or a lot more bang for their money. Don't you think, Sam?
I think so. I don't know, you know, how for this I am or not. I don't know whose land it is right now or not. I think a lot of the land is owned by private farmers as it currently stands, or private ranchers or whatever. And so You know, on one hand, I applaud it because I think that a lot of private companies will take it seriously and will really create a solid, stable border. We need to do something because it's an absolute meltdown right now. There's no doubt about it. President Trump's right on that. I don't know what the best answers are, Kurt, except I would start by saying, let's make sure that we get rid of the magnet bringing people to America in the first place for all the wrong reasons. So let's get rid of the welfare and the handout and the special privilege for illegals and everything else. Let's get rid of the carrot, if you will. And maybe we don't need as big of a stick if that's the case. So what I mean is I'm all for, you know, creating organization and stability on the border and all that kind of stuff. You know, I'm not against the private sector being involved for sure, because very little should government do. But one of the things that government's supposed to do on the federal level is protect our borders, is to make sure that people coming into America do not have ill will in their hearts and in their minds and in their actions. And so, you know, I get it, and I understand that it's a very complicated topic, but I would start by getting rid of the handouts and getting rid of the magnet that brings a lot of the wrong people here in the first place. And I think most of the problem would go away. And then I am for reasonable reform right there on the border to make a difference. And I certainly think the private sector has a role to play, without a doubt. So if the President Trump admin wants input on private border wall construction, I would say, hey, it's probably one of the better things to come out of the discussion, Kurt. What do you think?
Great point. You know, and at least a number of the sources talked about how it seemed like, hey, the president was looking at it because, you know, he found out, you know, once again, that the private sector could do things less expensively than the government sector. And so, you know, I always love to see that.
And my response is that's a refreshing viewpoint for somebody that's in government, right, Kurt?
Amen.
It's so rare, it's hard to even know how to respond to. But again, it's right. It's correct, Kurt. And therefore, we, you know what, double down and say, hey, more power to you. What can we do to help? It's kind of where I stand on this. It's like, hey, now I don't want to use eminent domain and take land from people or anything. So the devil could be in the details. But in general concept, to say the private sector could do things 9 times out of 10 better than the government, you're spot on and you're right. And the sooner the better. All right, Virginia gun sales skyrocketing in the first 5 months of 2020. That's one headline. Second headline, like unto it, quote, gun and ammo sales are up, Kurt.
Well, I thought it was interesting. These were a couple of stories, you know, that I found, you know, kind of, I was wondering how much the sales had gone up since we've had all these riots and things like that.
And the answer is a ton.
Well, in Virginia, according to the AP, which is, you know, I know a questionable source, they were up like 70%. Now, in places like Minot, South Dakota, they were up like 15%. Got any reason why they would be up different
amounts? Yeah, because people in Minot, South Dakota, number one, already have guns. And secondly, they don't feel threatened because the thugs aren't at their doorstep. And they haven't been shut down by the coronavirus near as much. So to them, America seems fairly normal. But in these other places where the rioters and the thugs are running around just literally attacking and destroying with impunity, very few people have guns because they've had such a restriction on guns in those tyrannical places for so long. And people don't feel like their lives are normal. They're, you know, their son gets beat up, their business gets destroyed. They're, you know, and so they're going, hey, I better do something. And so the panic has set in for those poor people. The difference is striking. And this really goes to the point last hour where Glenn Beck said there are two Americas. There are. There's the America that believes in God, guns, and grit. Believes in God, family, and country. Then there's the America that doesn't believe in any of that. And the America that doesn't believe in any of that, it's like mob rule over there, Kurt. And okay, you'll also find a religious correlation, Kurt. In this South Dakota area, I bet you people, for the most part, are fairly religious. In these other places, it's like, hey, if you're religious, it's persecution time. And so you see this striking difference and divide on every front. And I'm not for the divide. But I have to acknowledge that it exists, and it's ever-widening, sad to say, as well, Kurt. So that would be my response.
Very good response. I thought you might have something to say about
it. All right. Anything else on that one?
No.
I'll tell you this for one more thought on this. You can expect gun sales to continue to rise unless they outlaw them, Kurt. You want to know why?
I think when you outlaw them, you just won't have any record of them. But
that is correct.
They'll still be That
I completely agree. Now, Kurt, do you want to know why you can expect that?
Well, because it's the God-given right of the people to protect themselves, and they feel like that's one way they can kind of level the playing
field. Yeah, when money's melting down, people gravitate towards honest money, constitutional currency, gold and silver. When society's melting down and they feel like no one's got my back, then people say, I got a God-given right to defend myself, and I'm going to do it. And pretty soon, all this divide and this political correctness about guns goes away, and even the most liberal among them go, hey, man, I got to protect myself and my family. So you're going to see more of it. Write it down. Remember who told you first, huh? The answer, Kurt Crosby. All right, Harvard Global. What, this thing called Health Institute?
That's right,
What's
Sam.
What's a Harvard and the, Global Health Institute? I didn't know we had one of those suckers.
Well, at Harvard, with all that money, all that endowment money, you can pretty much have everything.
Weren't they the ones that took slave money for the longest time?
Oh, yeah, but you don't want to bring that up, Sam.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I knew you did. But anyway, the headline reads, Harvard Global Health Institute keeps changing coronavirus testing expectations. Yeah, and this is just one more of those things where it points out that those numbers change, like Glenn Beck said, and like in that rant. You know, did you just shut down the American economy for nothing?
Answer to Glenn and Kurt, not for nothing, to control you. That's why they shut it down. Boy. They didn't do it for honest reasons, that's for sure.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled M-E-J.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
Hard-hitting talk on a freedom-loving, fantastic. We're taking America back, one heart, one mind, one issue at a time. Friday, Kurt Crosby, Sam Bushman breaking it down just for you. Transaction, what do they call this thing? Transactionalist bullies, Kurt? Or transactivist bullies? What the heck does that mean?
We're talking about transgender types. The headline from World Net Daily. Yep. That's right. Well, you know, trans is short for transgender, and activists means...
What about a transition? They're in transition. Yeah. I get it. Okay.
Yeah, good point. Anyway, the WorldNet Daily piece from the WorldNet Daily staff says, trans activist bully author into withdrawing from public life for the sake of my mental health.
And, so hold on. Who's the bully?
Well, that would be the transgender activists.
And they're bullying this author. Sam,
Yeah. This lady is, her name is Rachel Rooney. Mm-hmm. She's a London-born lady, 57 years old. She wrote a book called My Body Is Me. And, well, she published this in the UK, encouraging children to appreciate the body in which they were born. But she says bullying...
You can't do that.
She says bullying from these transgender activists has forced her to retreat from public life. She says, you know, for the sake of her mental health, the UK's Christian Institute said her book was written to counter the explosion of books promoting radical gender ideology for children. Last December, she said she had not eaten or slept properly since the release of the book. That's according to the Times of London. Her book's message is simple. You're born in your body. You don't have a spare, so love it, hug it, treat it with care. Ooh, that sounds like a rhyme. But one transgender activist likened the book to, quote, terrorist propaganda, end quote. Another alerted an author's agency that Rooney was ideologically driven. The agency is called Authors Aloud, said it had nothing but praise for Rooney's work and would like to continue working with her. According to the Times, other authors rallied to her defense to counter the harassment. At the time, somebody named John Daugherty, he's author of something called Stink Bomb and Ketchup Face book series, addressed the attackers. He says, I'm concerned to see you apparently attacking a fellow writer's source of income because you disagree with her views. Sam, get used to it, as far as I can tell, right?
Unfortunately, I would have to say yes, Kurt. That's how it is these days. But again, it's because enough of us don't stand up, though, Kurt. I mean, how many people are defending these wackos that are literally attacking this woman? Okay? And how many people are defending this woman? Okay? They bully her into withdrawing from public life for the, quote, sake of my mental health, the poor lady. And okay, but can't they just let her have her beliefs and they have theirs? No. See, they got to shut her and snuff her out of existence in every way possible. But this is why these people are criminals, Kurt. They just are. All right. There's fed up Jewish leaders, too. Everybody's getting all fed up, aren't they, Kurt?
Well, yeah. And in this case, it doesn't have anything to do with the Federal Reserve. But there's they're
fed
talking
up.
About their...
I'm fed up with the Federal Reserve. It has everything to do with it, Kurt, if you ask me.
I know. But in this case, these guys are fed up because the headline, reads, Brooklyn Jewish leaders use bolt cutters to reopen park closed by city. So now the Jewish residents, are kind of ticked off because the mayor says, hey, man, we got to keep the parks all shut down. But then they're like, and then you have all these big rallies and riots going on and people busting up stuff and thousands of people going down the streets, and then we have to keep the playgrounds closed. They cut the lock, and then the mayor sent somebody back and welded that sucker.
You know what they say? It's a strong signal that the families aren't happy, Kurt.
Yeah, good point. So then the representatives of the people there in the area, these Jewish residents, they busted that thing and they said, look, we've heard the people and, we're going to keep this thing open. And if you keep trying to close it up, we'll be back to open it up. So, it's kind of cool to see him saying, hey,
amen.
Man,
and you got to ask, what gives these people authority to close everything, Kurt? What gives them the authority to do that? And let me give you an example to make the point. You know, I joked before, to mask or not to mask, to quarantine or not to quarantine, but now California orders all residents to wear masks, Kurt. Did you see this?
Yep. Even old Schwarzenegger's commenting on it, saying, you got to be stupid if you don't, do that. And
if I don't do what?
And the, wear a mask. And in the video of him, he wasn't wearing a mask. And, you know, and then they talk about the
social distancing. Was he just highlighting how stupid he is or what? That's a meme if I've ever seen one.
Yeah, good point. But, you know, the bottom line is, man, it sure is interesting on the whole mask front, huh?
Well, what do you think? Are they going to force us all to wear masks, Kurt? I see more and more and more of it.
Yeah, I think they're trying to, because what you're, the president's saying that if you, you know, those who want to force people to do that are trying to show their opposition to the president, you know.
Who's trying to show their opposition to the president? The people that want to wear masks or don't?
Yeah, that are, you know, pushing the whole mask thing, you know.
So be clear. The people that are promoting forced mask wearing are doing it because they want to get back at the president. And sadly, right. I think that's true because President Trump says, I believe people should have a choice. Where are the pro-choice folks when you need them, President Trump? That's what I would ask, huh, Kurt? Now, they're supposed to have the big old that's President Trump question. Rally tomorrow, aren't they, Kurt?
I think so, Sam. And yeah. A bunch of people, as far as I understand, are all lining up for it.
Oh, yeah, man. They started like 48 hours before the event wanting to get in. A million people applied for that dude, Kurt.
That's right. And I guess in Tulsa, the mayor's trying to do a curfew. And I'm thinking, what? Usually you do the curfew because, you know, you got people busting up windows. Now you want to do a curfew because people are standing in line so that they can get into an event.
Peacefully standing in line, Kurt. Yeah. Let's kind of add the clarity here.
That's right.
Right? I mean, there's no violence that I see.
That's what I'm
saying. Now, there might be when the thugs try to disrupt.
Yep.
Anyway, I'm just saying, what a shame. All right, a family is celebrating a miracle. You got to hear about this one, folks.
Well, that's right. The headline reads, Family Celebrates Miracle Baby's Life 18 Months After Doctor's Call for Abortion. Says God had his hand on her. Morgan Brantley writes from the Western Journal, says, when things in life don't go as planned, sometimes the knee-jerk reaction is to place the blame on God. This is a blended family of five in Franklin, Tennessee. Tragedy struck and the future seemed unclear. They clung tighter to their faith in the Lord. Brent and Dana Bythewood's first 2.5 years of marriage, the couple experienced two tragic miscarriages. 13 weeks into their third pregnancy, doctors told them that the baby was suffering from heart abnormalities that would prevent life outside of the womb. That's when they recommended an abortion. But anyway, it says they were just like, yeah, there's nothing you can do and there's nothing you've done, nothing you can do. And we were like, well, we can pray. And that's when we just started praying so hard for our baby girl, she told the Western Journal. Dana explained her pregnancy was emotionally challenging because she didn't know if each day was going to be the day that she and her family would have to say goodbye to their baby girl. Brent spent his days contacting the local funeral homes in preparation for the worst-case scenario. We literally were planning a funeral because as weeks went on, we were 16 and 17 weeks along, and you would have to deliver the baby and give her a final resting place. Dana said it was just a terrible ordeal. But we knew that's what we were facing, and we had to make those calls. It was emotional, to say the least. During all the emotional trauma the family was experiencing, there was a moment when God reminded Dana not to give up and to hold out hope in him for their baby. Not only did she and her family continue trusting in God, but there was also a community of thousands of believers they called Emily's Army praying for God to heal her.
You got it, dude. I have four words for this, ladies and gentlemen. Faith precedes a miracle.
Good boy.
What a blessing this one is, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live, Sam and Kurt, finding the best stories we can. Hard-hitting talk, always, on LovingLiberty.net.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The now former Atlanta police officer charged with murdering a black suspect in a Wendy's parking lot a week ago is expected to appear in court today. Garrett Rolfe is facing nearly a dozen counts, including felony murder, for the death of Rayshard Brooks a week ago tonight. Hundreds of President Trump's supporters are already in line for tomorrow night's campaign rally in Tulsa. Attendees have to sign a waiver saying they won't sue the Trump campaign if they get sick. But Oklahoma health workers have sent a letter to the mayor of Tulsa urging him to cancel the rally over COVID-19 concerns. After meeting with the Oklahoma governor, President Trump said of the rally plan,
"One of the reasons we chose your state, as you know, Kevin, was that you've done so well with the COVID."
For the third time, Twitter has flagged one of President Trump's tweets, and you're listening to USA Radio News.
Balance of nature. Changing the world, one life at a time.
Balance of nature, no question. Your product's a great product. I mean, it's very, very good. I own a couple of businesses, so I'm on the go a lot. There's no doubt that the energy level increased. And again, your product is very, very good, and I couldn't live without it, thank you. I thank you for your time. Thank you for the information. And when you talk to Dr. Howard, give him my best and tell him he's got a great, great product.
Don't wait to see what getting over 10 servings of whole fruits and vegetables every day can do for you. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Start your journey to better health today by calling 1-800-246-8751 or by going to balanceofnature.com. Again, that's balanceofnature.com. And make sure to receive this special radio offer by using discount code USA.
You can take Democratic Senator and former White House hopeful herself, Amy Klobuchar, off former Vice President Joe Biden's short list of women he's considering to be his running mate. Klobuchar saying she called Biden yesterday to tell him that putting a woman of color on the Democratic ticket would help heal the nation.
Get on your mark, get set, because here we go.
That's New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio saying the Big Apple will enter phase two of coronavirus reopening on Monday. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is now calling former National Security Advisor John Bolton a traitor. Pompeo slamming the former National Security Advisor after reading excerpts from Bolton's upcoming book, which Pompeo calls sad and dangerous, accusing Bolton of spreading lies. Meanwhile, the Trump administration is still fighting the release of the book, which is scheduled to be out next week. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
All right, I say faith precedes the miracle. Family celebrates miracle baby. And baby's life 18 months after doctors call for an abortion. Family says God had his hand on her. God also reminds the mother, that never to give up. Don't ever give up. That's what Dana was kind of told by God, says the story. A phenomenal example of faith. There was a group of people that were kind of in the faith. What do they call this group, Kurt? I like this.
Yeah, they called them Emily's Army.
Emily's
and
Army.
They were praying for God to heal her at 19 weeks. Yeah, nearly 19 weeks gestation. Dana went in for checkup, and the doctor discovered that the fluid covering the baby had miraculously disappeared with no medical explanation as to why. She and Brent continued going to her medical appointments, but were told there was no way the baby would make it longer than 22 weeks gestation. God had other plans, according to the WorldNet Daily and our Western Journal piece. Dana gave birth to Emily Hope Bythewood at 37 weeks and 5 days, June 24, 2019. She says, she wrote this on Facebook, "Our beautiful Emily Hope is here and arrived at 8 pounds, 7 ounces and 20 inches long. Thankful to God. Please be praying for this angel as she begins her journey in the NICU. Mommy is doing well too. Thank you all so much for the prayers and love. Keep them coming." She wrote that on Facebook.
Family celebrates, nation celebrates. Yeah. Miracle baby's life as well, Kurt. What an opportunity. See, this thing should go viral. All the rioters on the street should stop and have a little moment of thanks to Almighty God. Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah.
Of course, we're radical extremists for that view, aren't we? I like the idea of these prayer armies, too, Kurt.
Yep. Good point.
I think they're cool. I think we've got to have more of those dudes cruising around. Dudes? I don't know what you call them. What would you call that? Prayer armies. You wouldn't call them dudes, would you?
Patriots.
Patriots. Amen. Faith-filled folks, would you call them that, Kurt?
Yeah, that would be triple Fs.
Hoping on heaven, people?
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, I thought it was pretty cool. All right, this is a little bit of a trip story. Headline says, Church to yank Robert E. Lee stained glass. Quote, repents for white supremacy, acknowledging our own sin. So what do you got to do? There's a stained glass that, you know, references Robert E. Lee, and they had to yank that dude and repent and sorry for our sin kind of an idea?
Yeah, I just didn't. I mean, where's it going to end, Sam? I mean, you just have to.
I'm going to tell you.
Well, I know. I think you've told me before, and it's basically.
You tell me.
Head all the way to Jesus Christ.
That's right.
God.
That's right. When they stamp God and the Savior Jesus Christ and creation and everything that we hold dear out of existence completely and turn their back on everything that matters to us, God, family, and country, that's where they end. Okay, their real battle is with Jesus Christ, Kurt. It isn't really with you and I. It's just that we stand on the Savior's side, so we're in the battle, right?
Mm-hmm. Good point. Yeah, that's the way it looks to me, Sam. And, you know, in connection to that, the next story says, a blind Christian woman banned from park for sharing Jesus. Simply offer them a gospel of John, the word of God, no arguing. But, you know, you can't be having that. I mean, you know, now.
So let me get this right. This blind woman's not arguing with anybody. She's just simply sharing the word of God.
Yep.
She's simply offering them the word of God and John if they're interested or whatever. And if they go by, they go by or whatever. So they're literally shutting this poor lady down. This is an example. We're going to just jettison our history. You know, if you don't know history, Kurt, you're doomed to repeat it. So these people should have Robert E. Lee, and they should basically say, hey, whenever Robert E. Lee did good and was right, we'll defend him. He was for states' rights. He was for defending his home. Those are wonderful things. And, you know, we can't look through our modern-day lenses about his, you know, the slavery issue. Everybody in those days, including George Washington, what had slaves, Kurt? You know, Harvard University got a lot of money from slavery. Now, I'm not defending any of these people for their slavery, but I'm saying you can't judge their lives and their circumstances from our lens. It's just not a fair reality check. But look, as I mentioned, they're coming for Christ, Kurt. Blind Christian woman banned from a park for sharing the message of Jesus, simply offering them the gospel of John, and they shut her out? No arguing, no big problem. Why can't she be there, Kurt? Why can't she peacefully assemble, my friend? And the answer is, if you want to destroy property and rape and pillage and plunder and murder and just destroy everything, you've absolutely got a right to be there. But if you want to talk about God, you're gone. Isn't that what we've come to?
It looks like it, Sam. Yeah. This was, in this case, this blind lady was in Rhode Island, and they say she's was banned for 2 years from a public park and library in a place in Rhode Island called Westerly. Never been there, but her crime, she was sharing her Christian faith, according to the discrimination complaint.
I want to go there and thank her for her service, Kurt. That's what I want to do.
Yeah, 63 years old at the time, and they say blind. They told her that they demanded she stop having conversations with others in the park about Jesus. During the chats, she typically would offer a copy of the Gospel of John. The people that were ticked off about it called the police, claiming she accosted patrons by stopping.
And hold on a minute. These people are the ones that want to get rid of the police? They're the ones that are calling the police? The heck's going on around here? See what I mean? It all comes down to they want to attack God at every turn. And everything that's moral and good and, you know, praiseworthy and lovely and of good report, they want to just shut down. And these people are so evil, it's beyond imagination. This poor lady. But I commend her for her defense of the Savior Jesus Christ. But again, they're coming for Christ. She, like we, are just casualties in the process, right, Kurt?
Yep. Lots of casualties go around if you're going to get God out of the whole world.
They're not going to be able to get it done, buddy. I got news for them. That ain't going to happen. Okay? Because they can kill the body, Kurt, but they can't kill the spirit. They can't kill the truth.
Good point.
I mean, when they tried to kill the Savior the first time, didn't we demonstrate that reality to them once?
Yeah, that's true.
And I guess they forgot about history, so they're going to try to repeat it. Hello, you're going to lose, okay? Just get used to it, all right? All right, Kurt, enter through the back door. You got to run around in secret now.
Yeah, it's kind of like those stories where we'd talk about, you know, down on the street corner, somebody's got like a big trench coat and they have to open it up and have like a Bible in there or something like that, or maybe they've got to sell honey that way or whatever. But in this case, the headline from in the Faith Under Fire section from WorldNet Daily says, enter through the back door. Secret church services defy COVID-19 rules. The pastor says, I won't accept having to cower in a cave. I won't accept hiding in a hole because I have a calling from God. So
now let me just say that there.
Pushback
hey, look,
going on, Sam.
I will not accept and I will not cower. I will not accept hiding in a hole. I won't do it because I got a calling from God. I think that's the poignant part here. How come the rioters can assemble, but the religious freedom people can't assemble? See, Kurt, something's wrong here. And even one of the apostles from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, his name is David A. Bednar, he spoke on this very topic just recently, boldly, nobly, and independently, and said, hey, we're realizing what a fleeting reality is when it comes to religion in the public square. And if we're not very careful, it's tenuous. We're going to lose it. And we better really realize, look, these religious leaders can literally back rioting and kneel and Black Lives Matter. But if you want to kneel to God, you can't. If you want to kneel to the politically correct crowd, you can. This poor lady can't, you know, give people the gospel of John in the public square, but you can go there to yank down our founding era statues. Anyway, I commend these churches. I don't know that we ought to do secret church services, but nevertheless, in tyrannical nations, people have had to worship the Savior Jesus Christ in secret through the history, Kurt, of our world. And I guess it's no different even in America. As we lose liberty, we start to have to worship in secret, I guess, huh, Kurt?
That's exactly right, Sam. It looks like in this case, the Guardian's got the piece, and they're talking about thousands of these worshipers in Mexico and Brazil that are doing this. They sneak into invitation-only assemblies organized like illegal dance parties go in and...
Well, let me make this clear statement, this bold and noble and independent statement. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Secret or not, worship, we will. Just as Daniel prayed, so shall we.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, But I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped-up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
All right, our buddy James Dobson, Focus on the Family, well-known author, commentator, talk show host, family advocate, and more, speaking out boldly, wisely so, Kurt.
Well, that's right, and the headline from WorldNet Daily by him says, we will all pay the price. Dobson says, Supremes delivered a front to God. This is an incredibly dark day. I don't know how to add to that, Sam. It's pretty well done. Don't you think?
I think it's very well done. I think that he's spot on. And I will say this, though. If enough of us Americans were to focus on the solutions, Kurt, we could not have to pay the price. Okay, the Supremes deliver an affront to God. This is a dark day. This is an incredibly dark day, is the way Dobson puts it. I think he's right. But I'll tell you this. If enough of us, if 10 million Americans, okay, what percent of the nation is that, Kurt? 30 million Americans, or 33 would be, what, 10%? So 10 million Americans is what, 3%? About, yeah. Right? If 10 million Americans, 3% of the nation, literally stood up and said, these judges are off the rails. They just legislated from the judiciary branch. We're not tolerating that. President Trump, members of Congress, House 435 members, Senate 100 members, we will absolutely remove you from office if you do not impeach these out of control, dishonest, activist judges now. And I'm telling you, if that happened, we could get it done tomorrow, Kurt. And so we only pay the price if we're silent, if we don't organize and stand up and stop it. Okay, there are remedies when there are checks and balance violations. And we need to insist on those remedies. We have a constitutional republic if we can keep it. That means we must insist on these constitutional separations of power type remedies. And I'm telling you, James Dobson's right. Supremes deliver affront to God. It's certainly an incredibly dark day. I agree with that. But I say it doesn't have to be. Now, I doubt enough Americans will stand up and do anything about it. That is the saddest part of it all. But I submit to you that we could, and we should, and that is the answer, Kurt. And really, David A. Bednar of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is saying a similar thing. We better stand up for religious freedom, and we better do it fast. Yeah. Anyway. Enough of that. Researchers are in the news, Kurt.
Very good, Sam. Yeah, the headline from the Western Journal basically says, researchers announce major breakthrough that will save lives of coronavirus patients. And I guess these are British researchers, and they claim a steroid currently on the drug market could be a life-saving treatment for COVID-19 patients. They talk about the death of patients on oxygen were cut by a fifth, according to the BBC. There's a clear benefit. The treatment's up to 10 days of dexamethasone, and it costs about £5 per patient. Essentially, they say it costs £35 to save a life. This is a drug, they say, that is globally available.
And I'm not normally a drug guy, but I will say it's a risk-reward analysis. If you're really that sick, hey, it's worth a try. I'm more pro-life than I'm anti-drugs, right? But I think you need to use them wisely and carefully. But, I hope they find life-saving solutions. No doubt about it. Good for them, and I pray that we learn more about it. And that if it's an actual solution, that it goes viral. Without a doubt. I don't know much about it, but I'm telling you, again, you got to look at the risk-reward analysis on this and say, hey, if somebody's going to die or somebody's going to go on a respirator, their chances are almost zero of survival. Let's give them every chance of the book we can give. I'd basically get that prayer army going on personally. I'd get Emily's army in the mix. And then I'd use that medication to the best of my ability, very sparingly. And then I'd use natural health and healing solutions. And through all that, I'd put my faith in the Almighty God. That's what I'd do. All right, Herschel Walker's in the news, Kurt. Who's that?
Well, he's a former big football player.
I remember this guy. I think Herschel Walker's right.
Yeah, the headline from the burn in the USA section by WorldNet Daily says, he offers to send people who wanted to fund police to countries without them. He said, I want them to be happy. So, I think he's got a good solution there, Sam. What do you think?
Yeah, if you want the cops to go away, why don't you just go to a place where there's not any cops or where it's kind of mob rule and see how you dig it? That's Herschel Walker's point. He's kind of right on. But again, this is where they complain. They threaten to leave the country, but they never really do, Kurt, because they know the truth. They know, these are the people that go to the cops to stop a blind woman from preaching the gospel of John in the park. These are the same people that want to get rid of the cops entirely, right? I mean, they're just unhinged. They're just, I don't even know how to describe what they are, but they're psychotic. And when you turn your back on God, Kurt, it leads to psychosis. Okay, when you turn to God and acknowledge your Heavenly Father who loves you, who's your creator, you have stability and safety and peace and comfort and strength and faith and hope. And when you turn your back on that, you have nothing, my friend, except for disappointment and despair. And Herschel highlighting the reality here. If you don't like it, come on. I'll even pay your one-way ticket somewhere, buddy. Anyway, Herschel's spot on, interesting point. That I concur
Great
with.
Point.
MSNBC
yeah, the next,
host. Kurt.
Right. The host there said Bolton cashing in on betrayal of country, completely morally odious individual.
I like that word, odious.
That's kind of a, yeah, in other words.
You know what that means?
I think it has to do with hate, Phil, doesn't it? Anyway, bottom line is, the guy's cashing in on a book deal and, the book sellers are happy to stir it up.
Yes, they
next
are.
Next piece.
Never
next
mind the
headline.
Fact that it's not really true, most of it, Kurt.
Yeah, good point.
Right.
You can say almost anything in this world today.
Arousing or deserving of hatred or repugnance.
Yeah.
Hateful.
There you go.
Kurt's spot on.
Yeah. So the next one says, federal judge strikes down city's ban on open carry firearms. Western Journal, Jonathan Jones with the piece. Sam, rarely do we see much good news, but this one's sort of a piece of
good
news.
It's a great piece of good news. The judge shuts down this government overreach, which is a ban on open carry firearms. But let me ask you if the rioters were going to be like obeying the ban, Kurt, anyway.
I don't think so, do you?
No. So I'm just glad the good guys can have guns in this scenario. That's all. The people who obey the laws can now defend themselves from the out-of-control, belligerent hoodlums, Kurt.
Yeah, Jackson, Mississippi, where it is, and they say the city of Jackson cannot ban citizens from openly carrying firearms, which they are entitled to do under state law, even during times of emergencies.
Wow. Gotta dig it. That is a good news piece. All right, I switched the stories up on you a little bit, Kurt, because I want to get to this one before the end of the hour here. I know there's just so much news we'll never get to it all, but we're getting to as much of it as we possibly can. Headline says this, black ex-cop, quote, murder charge in Atlanta, case is a miscarriage of justice. Brooks' case will have far-reaching adverse effects on morale of police, writes Art Moore for WND.com. Kurt?
Yeah. you know, the bottom line is here, Sam, you know, they're just trying to stir up more of this, and this murder charge for this policeman is, I believe, wrong. And you're going to get more and more of what's called the blue flu, Sam, and you're going to get less and less of the policeman showing up when it's needed. This is why.
Now, Kurt, this is an example of, in my opinion, a very educated, what do you want to call it, conservative, black, ex-police officer that realizes the truth, Kurt, that it's not just white cops have open season on black people everywhere. That's not really true, right?
Exactly.
And this black person, as far as I understand, understands it well and says, look, what you're going to get is you're going to get cops to resign, cops to leave the industry. People who would like to be police officers will decide not to. And you're going to have a morale problem if you're not very careful. Okay, this murder charge in the Atlanta case is a miscarriage of justice. Look, this guy was violent to the cops. I am sad that he's dead. I really am. But I can't say if the cops really murdered this guy. They would say, well, you should have just let him go home. And my response is, look, it all started because he's falling asleep in a fast food restaurant line, a drive-thru. Then it escalates when he literally wakes up and, you know what, is on drugs and or alcohol. And then it gets even worse when he then tries to assault the cops. He punches a cop. He steals a taser. He then tries to flee from the cops and or get away and attack. And then, you know, we say, well, the cops, they should have been more gentle and kind. And I mean, they're treating this guy badly when he was just like a model citizen guy. Okay, this is the lie. And the black ex-cop here sees this and goes, look, you don't get drunk and fall asleep in a drive-thru. You got a DUI, first of all. Secondly, then, you don't hit the cops, punch the cops, and assault the cops. You don't steal their taser and then try to tase them. You don't try to flee from the police. See, if this guy wouldn't have taken any of these actions, he wouldn't be dead, Kurt. Now, I'm not justifying his death, but I'm saying if we start to call every cop that does anything a murder without a true trial, a jury of peers, due process, candid, transparent information before the court so that the truth can be discovered, so that the facts can be found, we are going to have a problem in America. And this black former police officer highlights this truth. Why isn't this person getting credence in the country, Kurt? Because I don't even know this gentleman, but I know that he's spot on. I know that he's right. And I agree with him, Kurt. How do we have more about that, Kurt?
Imagine that. Good point. Yeah, that's right. That kind of story just not going to go very far, is it?
Because no.
Because it doesn't fit the... doesn't fit the mold.
But it would go far, Kurt, if Rush Limbaugh, Sam Bushman, Glenn Beck, you know, all of these talk show hosts across the country could work together. We could absolutely change the narrative, Kurt. They wouldn't control the narrative anymore. Let me give you two quick headlines before the end of the hour. Trump doubter, boy was I wrong, writes WND.com. Trump doubter, boy was I wrong. Second one, American Update says Democrats now sue to stop the Donald Trump rally. So they wait till the last day and then they sue. So they can literally riot in the streets, destroy property, pull down our historical relics, literally defy the law, control sections of cities that are literally lawless zones. But yet you want to have a peaceful rally and meet together or go to church? Uh-uh. We'll sue you. We'll shut you down. We'll assault you. We'll destroy you. We'll burn you out. That's the narrative in America today, folks. We better, as some folks say, smell the coffee. You better wake up and defend religious liberty or you won't have any. For Sam and Kurt, we declare this nation shall endure. GodSaveTheRepublic, LovingLiberty.net.